you need to have when traveling is to make sure that you have a valid, not only a passport in this instance, but also a valid ticket. That is what is important.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, the point that you have raised is most important. But prior to leaving, you should have, besides your passport, your visa, your vaccinations, also a valid ticket. I stated that a valid ticket means a date of departure and also date of return. And unfortunately, what is currently happening is that there is utter chaos going on. And what is at the bottom, no one actually knows. However, we should make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for the Hujjaj, because things are definitely getting out of control. And there is a lot of accusations floating around, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for everyone, because it is, the Hajj is just going to start, and the frustrations and the patience needed already, we have to start utilizing all those bags of patience. However, I think we should continue, because we have got about 45 minutes to go through the 5 days and your stay in Mecca. So far, alhamdulillah, in session one we have done from departure to Medina and your stay in Medina, and in session two we have done from Medina right up to Mecca with the Umrah. Now, inshallah, we will discuss, inshallah, your Hajj. That means the reason why you made the journey and the 5 days of Hajj, and all the preparation prior, whether in South Africa, whether in Medina and in Mecca, you have been making for the 5 days of Hajj. So if you have not yet studied, you should study, and if you have got one of our test papers around, you should try to answer those, test book we have put out, which has got about 601 questions. However, in Mecca, you should perform your Salat with Jamaat regularly. As far as the ladies are concerned, that contrary to the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are lady female entrances. So there is definite demarcations and system and organization as far as Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned. But not so, especially during Hajj time in Masjid al-Haram in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Unfortunately, there is utter total chaos as soon as the crowds come in, and especially as the first of Zilhajj comes in, to such an extent that there are certain laws now that you should inquire about how you should perform Salat in the Masjid of Haram of Makkah, especially when there are ladies around. Nevertheless, the lady should perform their Salat, especially when it is busy, when there is pushing, jostling, and there is going to be touching of mahram and non-mahrams at least. Then you should perform your Salat at home. Come after Isha, make tawaf, especially during those times. After 11 o'clock, the tawaf seems to subside to an extent.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahib. It has also been advised, and maybe you can help us along here, that when it comes to this particular time and there's so much jostling and mixing, would it be advisable for families to come down after 11 o'clock, and even if there's the tawaf is crowded, for them just to sit in one side and look at the Baytullah, because it's been recorded that there's a lot of tawaf just for looking at the Baytullah in the instance where there's lots of pushing and shoving?
There is a hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that 120 mercies descend upon the Kaaba, and 60 of which goes to those who make tawaf, 40 of that goes to the one performing salah, and 20 of those going to the one just looking at the Kaaba. However, there is another hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif that if a person visits the Baytullah and makes 50 tawaf, 5-0 tawaf, then he will return home like the day his mother gave birth to him. So you've got your timetable for Makkah al-Mukarramah laid out. That make 50 tawaf at least. You do not know whether you are going to go back to the Haram. You do not know whether you are going to go back for Umrah or Hajj. So please do not waste time and do not engage in vain, futile discussions. The most important rule is that kasrate tawaf, kasrate umrah se better hai. That no tawaf is better than no umrah. Outside the haram, there will be taxi drivers calling out, chota umrah, bara umrah, chota umrah. Chota umrah means that they agree to take you to a place called Tan'im, where there is Masjid Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And bara umrah means they are going to take you 9 miles away to a place called Jurana. So either of those two places you can put on, adorn your ihram and come. For the time taken for you to go and make a small umrah, that means you have to go take a taxi, then go to the masjid, make your salah, then take a taxi back, and then come and make your umrah, then make Safa, Marwa, Halak, and all that. During that duration, you can make many more tawafs. So it is a ruling that whilst you are in Makkah al-Mukarramah, then inshallah you make a lot of tawaf. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi stated that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with eyesight, then look at four things: the Kaabatullah, the Rosa of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Kitabullah and Awliyaullah. That you look at the Kaabatullah, you get sawab. You look at the way Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is born, you'll think of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at Quran al-Kareem. By looking at Quran al-Kareem, you get sawab. Looking at the pious saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are truly saints, inshallah you'll be reminded of Allah, inshallah you will get sawab. So alhamdulillah, you are now in Makkah. And most of the packages designed these days takes you away to a place called Azizia. Azizia is a place about 3 to 4 kilometers away from Makkah. Generally, those who are staying, they come away after Asr. They make the Fajr, Zuhr and Asr in Azizia and come away. And stay in Makkah, Maghrib, Isha, make Tawaf, have something to eat and go back to their places in Azizia. One thing about Makkah, Azizia, etc., alhamdulillah, these are places still very safe. No one is going to take out one knife for you and hold it on your throat, and no one is going to take you in a taxi and tell you you are now what you were kidnapped, or no one is going to hold a gun in your hair on your head, and no one is going to hijack you. But definitely, unfortunately, during peak hours of tawaf, etc., you get pickpocketers. So as a rule, that carry your money inside your trousers pocket or money belt, but carry very little bit of money, especially when you are making tawaf during peak times. So alhamdulillah, if you smile by allows me, we can proceed for the 5 days.
Before you go on, the question then arises is, many persons say that going into Azizia, does it become part of the haram or not?
Okay, one is salat, performance of salat individually, and one is performance of salat in jamaat, and thirdly is performance of salat with a big jamaat, and fifthly is performance of salat with jamaat in the Jami Masjid, and one is performance of salat in jamaat in Masjid al-Nabawi or Masjid al-Aqsa or in Masjid al-Haram, and one is performance of salat in the Haram. So there are different sawabs at every stage, at every level and degree. The area of Azizia and Mina is part of the Haram border. So when you perform there, then inshallah you will get the sawab of Haram, but you will not get the sawab of Masjid al-Haram. So there are differences. However, inshallah, to get sawab of Haram, alhamdulillah, that is great. And you should also, when you in Azizia, do not become lazy. You should still go for Fajr Salat, because at every turn there are masjids. So you should go and locate the nearest masjid to your apartment, your housing, your locality, and then go regularly to that masjid. All facilities are there, alhamdulillah.
Jazakumullah for that clarification. And the other one is, when you are there, you've spoken about coming back. Now, sometimes you find that the ladies stay in the rooms. Is it preferable for them to go to the masjid, in the local masjid, or to make salah in their rooms?
Especially when you're in Azizia, it is preferable for them to make their salah in their rooms. Because although there are facilities, but those facilities are not so adequate, and our ladies would not be very comfortable. With the haram, what happens generally, that they make their wuzu, etc., and go into the harams. But when they are out in Azizia, etc., the facilities are not so good.
We now come to the question of the 5 days of Hajj. We're going to take it very systematically, so I think we start and you can give us the actual date when the 5 days begin, and from then we can take each one as we go along.
On the 8th of Zil Hajj, after midnight, that when, especially when you are in Makkah al-Mukarramah, you will find that the whole of Makkah al-Mukarramah transforms and changes. You have been seeing prior to this everybody walking around in civilian clothing. But on that 8th, there is a feeling that I cannot even describe adequately and sufficiently over the air for you. That the entire Makkah, wherever you look, you see people rushing and people proceeding to the Haram, and everyone, the male especially, because they wearing those two pieces of cloth, they are in the condition of Ihram. It is such a wonderful, beautiful sight that they to look at more than 1 million people proceeding in that state. Now the masla, that after the 8th of Zil Hajj, especially if you're making the Tamattu Hajj, there are three types of Hajj. One is Ifrad. Ifrad means you're going to make with one Ihram the Hajj. The Qiran, you're going to make one Ihram, the Umrah and the Hajj. Tamattu, with two Ihrams, one Ihram you're going to make Umrah, one Ihram you're going to make Hajj. And for the Mufrid, the one making the Ifrad Hajj is called a Mufrid. He, for him or her, the Dhamma Shukar is Mustahab. The Tamattu, Mutamatti, and the Qarin, the one who makes the Qiran Hajj, for them it is wajib for them to make the Tamay Shukar. So the Mutamatti, the one who makes the Tamattu Hajj, after the midnight of 8th of Zil Hajj, if they want to bank the Safa Marwa, the Sa'i, they can make a Nafil Tawaf and make the Safa Marwa, the Sa'i, and bank it. So meaning that when they come for Tawaf and Ziyarah, they will only make Tawaf, and they have already done the Safa Marwa. Remember, the Sa'i, the Safa Marwa is banked only, not the Tawaf. And inshallah, you can either tie your Ihram in Aziziya, or you can tie it in the hotel room or the apartment in Makkah. Or if you are in Makkah, it is better to go to the Haram itself, the Masjid al-Haram, and tie the Ihram there.
We also have many South Africans that are going to be performing Hajj from Medina to Munawwara, and I think it's appropriate now that we speak about conditions there as well, because we're going to talk about the 8th and what would be a condition of the person coming in for Medina to Munawwara, coming in for Hajj.
The person coming in from Medina to Munawwara has got two choices. One is that he makes Ifrat, and other one he can make the Qiran Hajj. Generally, I think most of South Africans who come from Medina to Munawwara are intending to make the Ifrat Hajj. So they will come directly, and it is masnoon for them to make a Tawaf Qudum. That means the entry Tawaf when they come into Makkah al-Mukarramah. If they do not do that, there is no dam. They go directly on the 7th of Zil Hajj to Aziziya. And on the 8th morning, they'll proceed to Mina. That means they are going to make the Ifrat Hajj. And from the 8th of Zil Hajj, they'll be normal. When we talk about the Mina, then inshallah they come under that discussion also. However, they must remember one thing. This is tiresome. A person who is going to do this must realize one thing. It is not very easy. Because to leave on a strenuous journey from Medina and coming to a 12 to 18 hour journey and entry into Makkah, then to Aziziya, and after that having a meal, getting yourself freshened up, and the next morning you are getting into Mina ready for the 5 days. So alhamdulillah, if you are healthy, you are able to do that.
We were talking just in Ifrad. If you're in Qiran, is it something
similar? Now, Qiran is the person will come from Medina and he will make a whole Umrah. But he will not come out of Ihram, he will not make Halak and Qasar. That means he will perform the Umrah as we have described previously. He makes the whole Umrah and he will not come out of the Ihram. Meaning he will not make the Halak or the Qasar, or the lady will not clip off the hair. And he will stay in that condition with that Ihram. However, if that Ihram is dirty, he can change it. If the Ihram is soiled, he can change it. If that Ihram needs washing, he can wash it. And if he wants to put it on another
another set of or what you call ihram, he can do so. The females, they can change their clothing if they want to and they feel it is soiled. However, a person, he can wash one piece of ihram, and as soon as it's dry, then he can adorn it again. Now when we are proceeding for the Hajj, we have got two options. These days, alhamdulillah, many South Africans have opted to walk also. So we have got two options. One is to go with the bus. And the bus, there are two options. One is you utilize the Muassasa bus, which you have legally paid for. You are legally entitled to. And it is part of your contract, you have paid for it, and no one should charge you any extra fee for that. Yes, you just have to wait your turn and get onto that bus, and your agent, your operator, your tour operator should tell you that when is your bus going to come to take you to Mina. So you got that one. However, if you opt to go for the walking Hajj, you may do so. And because we encourage those to going for the walking Hajj, we will talk about that also. And it is better to do the walking Hajj, easier, safer, more comfortable, less frustration, less depression, and it is also more meritorious. Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayhi in Virtues of Hajj has written about this in a section called Journey and its Hazards, the chapter 3 of it. I think the first impression, if you look at it, it's on page 41. Rather unfortunate that there are some people who go around who discourage people from walking, and unfortunately this has an adverse reverse effect on them. The more they discourage people to walk, more South Africans are walking. However, I do not want to go in that academic discussion or the pros and the cons of it. If you want to walk, alhamdulillah, you walk. If you are incapacitated, weak, feeble, elderly, you should go with the bus, and alhamdulillah. But to say that to say and discourage people from walking, that is not very good. Remember that the Hajj is very easy. Hajj has got three farais and six wajibats. The farais is ihram, wukuf in Arafat, tawaf e ziyara. That is according to the Hanafis. And the Hajj has got a few extra farais according to the Shawafi. According to the Shawafis, ihram is farz, wukuf in Arafat, number 2, number 3, tawaf, number 4, sa'i, number 5, halak, and number 6, tartib, sequence. The sequence of these farais which I've just mentioned. And the wajibats, the compulsory actions, according to the Hanafis are 6. The wukuf in Muzdalifah, the sa'i, the safa marwa, the rami, the dam shukr, the halak of qasr, and the tawaf and wida. According to the Shafis, the ihram with niyat, wukuf in Muzdalifah, wukuf at Mina, rami at jamarat, tawaf and wida. That is the wajibat. The sunnats are very simple: tawaf al kudum, the ramal, and to make it to leave the right shoulder open there, going to Mina on the morning of the 8th of Zilhajj, the 5 salat in Mina, going to Arafat from Mina after sunrise on the 9th of Zilhajj, refraining from going to Arafat before the Imam of Hajj, stay in Muzdalifah in the night to perform ghusl in Arafat, spend nights and days in Mina. So the person, alhamdulillah, is going to adorn the ihram. The ihram, we have already explained, the ihram of the male, the ihram of the female, and the ihram of the child. And if the person is making a Hajj Badal, he just takes the person's name, he's making, Ya Allah, making Hajj Badal for so and so, make it easy for me and accept it from me. The prohibitions of ihram, we should note, and we should learn, and we should memorize them so that we do not commit them. For the men, wearing of sewn clothing, covering of head for the men, covering of the face. The woman can cover the face, they can use a golfer's cap, as I've explained previously. The use of fragrance, ether, perfume for male or female. Removing of hair, that means pulling out of hair, not falling off hair. Cutting of nails, pairing of nails, male or female. Hunting land animals and sexual relationship. If a person has sexual relationship before the wukuf of Arafat, then that Hajj is null and void. the person will have to continue the proceedings of Hajj and then have to sacrifice a budna and come back and make the Hajj again. If a person, unfortunately...
Yes, you just mentioned a big term and I was just worried if you're going to get lost in terminology. You mentioned the word budna.
Budna is big term and big money and big animal. Because budna means camel. Basically, budna means the penalty where we have in relationship to them. One is sadaqah. A person makes a minor error, he gives some sadaqah away. And a person discards a wajib or contravenes a wajib, then he has to make a dam, that is sacrifice of goat or sheep, or one share in a big animal. Budna means big animal sacrifice, that is cow, buffalo, or camel.
Why you were busy talking to my ministers to get the Fazal Hajj, and I thought I'd just... I was just checking, don't worry, I wasn't double checking with you, but I want to just share this with our listeners. It says that going to Hajj on foot is praiseworthy act, but only as one can bear the burden of it. At the beginning of this booklet, we quoted the verse, and proclaim the pilgrims among men. They will come to you on foot on every kind of camel, lean on account of journeys through deep and distant mountain highways. One will notice that those coming on foot are mentioned before those on camel. Some ulama therefore deduce from this that travelling for Hajj on foot is more virtuous than travelling by any other means of convenience. And I got another, on the other page it says, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala reported Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that verily the angel shakes hands with the Hajjis arriving in Makkah mounted on horses and camels and embraced those arriving in foot. When Sayyidina Abbas became ill, he said, nothing fills me more with regret and sorrow than the fact that I did not perform Hajj on foot. Indeed, Allah mentioned those arriving in Makkah on foot in the ayah of the Quran, and it is quoted in Dhuri Mansur. So I was just
all the Anbiya is written there too. I've read that.
Yes,
because I am the so-called specialist on this. All the Anbiya alayhi salam have made Hajj on foot.
Another reported that Sayyidina Adam performed Hajj 1,000 times on foot, and Sayyidina Ismail used to perform Hajj on foot. And so it goes on, and is in, and you know the pages that you mentioned, 44, 43, 44, 45, yes, it is all in there. So if anyone wants any further reference, it is there. But let's just go back to the 8th of Zilhijjah, and I think that's important. So for that particular day, we normally you find that when it comes to the 7th, everyone gets ready.
Yes.
Then comes the 8th, and when you're at the 8th, there's nothing specific to be done except that you are in the state of Ihram.
Yes, and yeah, I think a few tips that on the 7th, please do not tire yourself by shopping excessively, because you are going for what you have come for on the 8th, the Hajj. Also on the 7th, especially if you decide to do the walking Hajj, don't go and decide to go and visit the cave of Hira and climb the mountain, because on the 8th you are going to be so tired, it's unreal. So you should, if you're going by foot, there are some tips I would like to give you. First, you must rest. Secondly, footwear. Get the right footwear. See, it's Shari compliant. Wear it prior to the 8th. Do not buy a sandal on the 7th and walk on the 8th. You will have difficulty. Luggage. I like the Nigerians because I see them every year. And how they walk, I really admire them. That how they walk, they are in Ihram and they have one, they have only one Haji mat. Only one Haji mat. Because there is water on the road, I will explain to you. They have one Haji mat, and on top of that, they have got a child on the shoulder, and they are walking. And we joke while we see them. We say, if they have forgotten something in Mina, they can just turn around, go to Mina, and bring it back. And they walk. The ladies walk faster than us, by the way. So you have to be very light. The lighter you are, the more talbiyah you read, the better for you. Even when you're going by bus, please go light. Do not carry half the pharmacy or half the library. You will not have time to read those kitabs that you take. And also, you're not going to consume all that medicine. You take your essential medicine. One concept is, people feel that I will not take any medicine, I'm going for 5 days, if I die, it's okay. Don't kill yourself, you'll be accountable. And the other extreme is to take so much of medicine, and you start catering for all those around you, you become heavy. The next is that you have a backpack. What do you all call that in this area?
Knapsack.
So we call it backpack, whatever it is. Then sunglasses. Don't buy an expensive sunglasses. You have some sunglasses, maybe the UV rays are high there, etc. and have an umbrella. The lady generally colorful short umbrella, the man a big umbrella, so that you can use it as a walking stick as you go along.
Jazakumullah. That was Mufti Afzal Ilyas, and we're talking the 5 days of Hajj. Inshallah, we've done the 8 days. The eighth day, inshallah, when we come back, we will continue 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. Stay tuned. 8 minutes after it, Radio Islam Midway 1548 with us, Mufti Afzal Ilyas, and we're talking Hajj. And inshallah, we're doing the 5 days. If you have any questions, remember the number to dial 8547075. The number again, 8547075, on the code 011. You could also fax us on 8547024 or 25. We have one question that has come in. Muhammad Ismail, the question.
Mufti Sahab, a brother wants to know if he makes the intention, he makes the niyyah for walking. He heard all the rewards for walking for Hajj, but he cannot do the whole thing. He just does a portion of it walking, and the other portion he goes with transport. Will he get the full reward for the walking Hajj?
Inshallah, the amount that he walks physically, first of all, that inshallah he will get reward, because there is intention and action. As far as his intention of walking the whole Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him for that too, inshallah. But I will give you one advice here to anybody who wants to walk, and here I will also stress one thing and clear one thing, that when you are to walk, it does not necessarily mean that you must go with Mufti Ilyas. Remember this, you must walk with your own group. This year especially, every agent has got his own walking group, which I'm very happy that now we do not have to go with those huge numbers. Every agent is catering. But I give you one advice, that walk from Makkah to Mina. If you can manage, then alhamdulillah. If you cannot manage, then you are entitled to the bus. You have paid for the bus, so you must go with the bus.
I know from experience you've been saying that it is not as difficult, and you've taken people on wheelchair and you've taken people on crutches as well. So I know your experiences, it is quite easy. Is that correct?
Yes, because the road is tarred. The road is tarred. Every 12 meters there is water outlets. Every 100 meters there is toilets. Every 300 meters there is clinics. Now our brother Ahmad Sayyid has brought back photographs. He went lately. Between the 12 meters of water outlets, there are benches now. There are benches. So that means you can rest now too. And it's all tar road. There is food available. There is coffee, what you call the vendors available. There is ice cream available. And if you are walking from Arafat to Muzdalifah, we give you prime meat when you enter into Muzdalifah. That is sure.
You're sure about that?
Yes.
One? And what about the stragglers? You know, that is the other question people say, that many a time, wouldn't we then perhaps be an inconvenience to the group if we cannot walk at the same pace, or if we are not fast enough, or because of our illness, we seem to have to take a rest more often than others?
Yes, this is where you will have to speak to the Amir of your group. Your Amir must be experienced, pious, righteous, knowledgeable. And he must know the route. When we walk at a pace 15 minutes, 1 kilometer. And every 2-3 hours we rest, take a head count, we mobilize, and then we start walking again. And we have got what we call sweepers, those who come right in the back, sweeping those who lag behind and taking them through. And when we walk, Brother Ismail to walk with me, when we walk with banners, flags, tags, we walk with sweepers, marshals, we walk with groupings, amirs, sub-amirs. We walk with the people who walk with us. Each one is given ribbons, what you call nylon and neon ribbons. So in the dark we identify them. And the ladies put that on the back of their head, the men on the ihram. And we had last year stickers on them also. So when we do this, it's like a small military operation. But when we go with 800, come back with 1,000. So all those can see our flags. Our flags are about 20 big ones, 25 small ones. As I say, that it is done systematically. It is not done as if we are running one, what you call,
marathon race either.
Also, one thing. Ask your Amir whether you will do the walking Hajj or the running Hajj. Because many groups, unfortunately, give a bad name and taste to the walkers. They run the Hajj and they tire the Haji out. We walk very slowly, and when we go to Arafat, the first thing to do, you must go and sleep. When you go to Mina, sleep. So alhamdulillah, I'm happy you raised those issues. The ladies can wear their own footwear, chip sandals, or their techies.
You go to the agent, he'll tell you where you could get your bus. Your valuables, secure them in Mecca. Please, your valuables, whether you're walking or going by bus, you secure them in Mecca so you can have a peaceful, and you do not have to think about your valuables. Don't take your valuables and start wailing and sleeping over them in Mina, Arafat, and then you go to Jamarat and donate it to the devil there. Don't do that. So you keep your valuables away, whether you're going by bus or walking. Bus, remember, the bus must make a... For every haji, for every bus, there are 50 hajis. So that bus will go and come back and take another 50. So the shuttle is over for that particular bus. So you wait your turn, and your agent will tell you. Second bus system is where the agent charges you another fee and tells you you are going to have a bus of your own, and this bus is going to be with you all the time. There are pros and cons, advantages, disadvantages of that. Another session we can discuss that. So when you go to Mina, your responsibility in Mina is very simple. You are on the 8th of Zilhajj. Sunnat for the Hadaf is to read their 5 Salat there. So you are going to make the Zuhr, the Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr. After the Fajr Salat, generally most of the Hajis forget to read the Takbir. The Takbir of Ayyam Tashriq. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. It starts there. And subsequently keep reminding your imam, because this is now, you are first of all in Ihram, you are a little bit tired, exhausted, and you're not focused. Therefore the imam may just leave off the takbir. You kindly tell him that. There also you must take a muqim imam. Every time you're making salat in your tents, take a muqim, a person who has stayed for 15 days or more in Makkah, make him the imam. Also make sure that the females are separate and the males are separate in Mina. Many tents, unfortunately, do not adhere to the laws of hijab. And many other tents also, the men folk go into the women folk tents, whilst the women folk are dressed how amongst the women folk they generally dress. So this we all should worry about. And behave well. Don't spoil your Hajj. Do not transgress, do not fight, do not quarrel. In Mina, this day of Mina, because you are not accustomed now, you are so-called in etikaf there. When you are there, read Quran, read Talbiyah, make zikr, pray to Allah, and study a few the kitabs, ask the ulama. The ulama generally in the tents give bayans, which are very useful. You should attend them. And don't go around saying 2-3 things. One is that in my tent, the mercy of Allah is descending. Only the mercy of Allah is descending in my tent. Please don't say this. Secondly, in my tent, so and so big Maulana is there. In your tent, no one is there. Don't say this also. The mere fact that Allah has called you to Mina, and Allah has called you there, that is sufficient mercy on your head. Thirdly, don't go and compare food. It is unreal how South Africans compare food. Oh, in my tent we are eating this, and in your tent we are eating this, and in that group they are eating this. This is spoiling your Hajj. Don't do that. Don't waste your time on these things. These are trivial worldly things. Alhamdulillah. Come the 9th.
I just want to interrupt you there, because I think it's important. We talked about the days of Ayyam al-Tashriq and you know what is going to be read. Yes. But I think sometimes also what is important that we need to tell our listeners about the labbaik and how it should be read. And I think what happens is sometimes you just forget and you do not want to read it, or you sometimes feel, well, fine, one person is reading, it's sufficient for all of us, and that is not correct, is it?
So the labbaik, individually you should read it, men audibly, female silently. And you must, as I mentioned to you clearly, that the more labbaik, the better, the easier your Hajj becomes. Anytime you are in such difficulty, keep reading labbaik. And when you are standing at the queue for wuzu, don't gossip, read labbaik. Silently carry on reading labbaik. When you are waiting your turn to go to toilet, read labbaik, read labbaik. And when you keep reading labbaik, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very, very easy. Also, that do not tire yourself out by getting into some devotional exercise which you are not accustomed to do. For example, you start reading Quran and carry on reading Quran for 3-4 hours, you are going to fatigue yourself. And one rule for the entire 5 days of Hajj, this applies to male, female, young, old, healthy, not healthy, please drink a lot of water. You may feel that I'm a big size fellow and I will not get dehydrated. This is a gross misconception, because we have found that big size fellows getting dehydrated, and the medical practitioners rightly advise us that whatever size and shape you are, male, female, young, old, healthy, not healthy, please consume a lot of water. So alhamdulillah, in those days there is Zamzam plenty available. You keep drinking water. The more water you drink, inshallah, you'll feel fresh. The talbiyah you read, easier the Hajj. On the 9th of Zil Hajj, now if you are going by bus, please make sure that you got your luggage. There is a, you can leave some non-valuable luggage in Mina and take a very light luggage to Arafat, because you are going to come back to Mina. When you are walking, please be light, and your Amir will tell you how to proceed from Mina. Remember, in Mina, we are near the Jamarats. And so, generally, if you are walking in a small group, 50, then maybe you decide to go to the border of Mina and Muzdalifah and wait for Fajr Salat. So you make your Fajr in Mina, you got a head start of an hour or so, and you can proceed and go away to Muzdalifah towards Arafat.
We've got a caller that's called in. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I'd like to know something.
Do you go
My
ahead?
My brother is working there in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh.
Right.
So, see, and he wants to go for Hajj, but they told him that you must join the Arab Jamaat. Is that right? He wants, he said he doesn't know Hajj, anything about Hajj. So is it right for him to go with the Arab Jamaat? They only speak Arabic.
I'm sorry.
He only knows a few words, but he doesn't know anything about Hajj.
If he joins the Arab Jamaat, then will he be allowed to make his Hajj how he wants to do it?
They didn't tell him that. I have to phone him in Saudi Arabia and tell him that he would like to go with the South African, you know, somebody from South Africa. Please, then he'd know what to do.
What you should do, that I will mention my email.
Yeah.
Take it down, tell him to contact me, and I will tell him how to make his Hajj.
Okay.
Via, I'll explain to him, even if he goes with those Arabs,
yeah,
how must he make the Hajj.
Okay.
So,
can we give you, what we do is give your number to Maulana Ismail,
yeah,
and off the air, inshallah, and after the program, we'll get in touch with you.
Okay.
Jazakumullah.
Okay.
Just keep.
So, alhamdulillah, we're proceeding 9th of Zil Hajj to Arafat. Those who are walking, I told you, the small groups can go into the Mina Muzdalifah border, make their Fajr at the Mina Muzdalifah border. Previously, we should do that, and go away to Arafat. At Masjid al-Namira, obviously, you take a right turn and go away. Those who are going by bus, inshallah, you make dua, your bus goes there early. And sometimes, every year, we get the bus coming there, sometimes 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock. Last year, the last bus came 4 o'clock also. However, when you go away to Arafat, the first thing to do in Arafat is to rest, whether you by bus or walking. Please do not become superhero and start opening kitabs and reading. Go and rest. After you rest, because your wukuf in Arafat technically starts after Zawal. But remember, you Haji already, you are already there in 9th of Zil Hajj. Allah Ta'ala has given you ability to complete your second faras. So your responsibility in Arafat, one is to make the Zuhr Salat on its time, because you are far away from Masjid al-Namira. But also you will make your Asr time on its time. If you are in Masjid al-Namira, then you can combine the Zuhr and Asr, otherwise not. Then you make dua after Zawal, standing outside if you can, otherwise sitting. Otherwise standing in your tent, otherwise sitting. It is not farz or wajib to stand. It is good to stand. It is desirable, preferable, nice to stand. If you cannot stand, remember that it does not mean that your Hajj has got some defect or flaw in it.
Jazakumullah. Hajj is Arafat and Arafat is Hajj. Is that correct?
Ji. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in one hadith, Al-Hajj wa Arafat, that Hajj is Arafat. So, because a person goes there for that. And the du'as are accepted in Arafat. And we have, out of experience, found that the du'as that we have asked in Arafat, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it. However, we should not engage in innovative practices. Two, three of them we mentioned. One is, people tell you, go and write my name in Arafat. So you find people on the floor writing names. That is not proven. Secondly, you find people writing names of pieces of paper and putting on the rocks there, and standing on the rock. And thirdly, you find people writing names and putting a thread on it and hanging it on the trees there. And one which is very haram there, that after the dua is made, or people generally, when they have now so-called made the du'as, they begin to hug each other. And the person begins to hug da mahram ladies, which is absolutely haram. And this is not conducive for a haji. He's already started sinning in Arafat. So Alhamdulillah, when that your day of Arafat is finished, it is sunnah to have a ghusl in Arafat. It is not sunnah for the haji in Arafat to fast. So there are tankers available there, and also now the facilities for us South Africans has improved greatly in Arafat, the toilets, etc., and you can make some sort of a shower there and have some shower there.
We had a question that just come through.
The brother wants to know, in the state of Ihram, can you walk with a water bottle attached to your person?
In a state of Ihram, you can use your spectacles, you can use the wristwatch, you can use money belt, you can use that water bottle he's talking of attached to your Ihram, all that is permissible. In fact, when you are walking, nowadays you do not have to carry water. I remember those days you should carry water. Now you, every 12 meters, you take your bottle and ice cold water comes out of those sprouts, those concrete sprouts, Alhamdulillah, you can drink water and take some water for the road also. You come out from Arafat, Alhamdulillah, the bus will take you to Muzdalifah, and when you're walking, you will go into Muzdalifah. In Muzdalifah, your responsibility, they are various. One is that you will combine the Maghrib and the Isha. Secondly is what we call Mabit, picking up pebbles. And accordingly, you'll pick up either 49 or 73 pebbles, depending whether you want to stay on the 13th or not. Whether you're going by bus or whether you're going by 4-star, 5-star, 1-star, no-star package, in Muzdalifah there are no tents, and there is the floor to sleep on and the sky is your roof.
And there's lots of stars above you.
And a lot of stars. Last year it was fairly cool, the year before that very cold. This year we're expecting rain in Arafat, a little drizzle in Muzdalifah, but rain also in Mina. However, you can take, the ladies can wear jerseys, etc., the men can take shawls if they want to, or the extra piece of cloth to cover themselves. So you go there and you make your Maghrib and Isha, one azan, one ikamat. The procedure is very simple. You give azan, give ikamat, then you make three rakats Maghrib. Immediately after salam, you make the four rakats of Isha. Then individually you perform the sunnats of Maghrib and then the sunnats and the wajib of Isha. Then Alhamdulillah, now you are ready to pick up the pebbles.
The procedure for ladies in this instance?
Same thing, exactly as I explained. Exactly as I explained, that they will make the Maghrib and their Isha. For the Hanafis, the stay on in the night in Muzdalifah is Sunnat. But the stay after Fajr Salat is Wajib. The stay in the night in Muzdalifah is Sunnat. But the stay after the Fajr Salat is Wajib. And the Shafis, they can just go there after any time after midnight. They just pass through there. Their stay in Muzdalifah has been accomplished. And they can go and pal the Shaitan after midnight. You pick up your pebbles and wash them if you want to. Then you know you got pebbles in your hands. And try to get close to the Mina border. The next day, you got many activities now. First of all, after Fajr Salat, the tip is that wait for the Masjid. The Masjid in Mina is called Masjid al-Khayf. The Masjid in Arafat is called Masjid al-Namira. The Masjid in Muzdalifah is called Masjid al-Mashar al-Haram. So you wait for the official azan, or you have timetables. Do not make your Salat of Fajr before its time. it will not be valid, your wukuf will not be valid. It is good to leave Muzdalifah after sunrise. So if you make your fajr, make a wukuf, that means tarry and make dua. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that the du'as of his which were not accepted in Arafat were accepted in Muzdalifah. So Muzdalifah night is very important. Muzdalifah night technically is Eid night. Eid night. So you go away to Mina. Now you, in this day, you got many things to do. My advice is, whether you're going by bus or walking, you go immediately to your tent in Mina and rest. And then you have you make your zuhur and you have lunch, and after that you go and make a rami of the big jamarat. That means you tell the big jamarat. Meanwhile you busy yourself in talbiyah, labaik, you read all the time. Once you go near the jamarat, respected listeners, remember, literally there are hundreds of thousands of people, not thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, and your heart was going to beat more, it's going to throb. You haven't seen such crowds in your life. And do not get excited. The rule is, again, read talbiyah. When you read talbiyah, automatically the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend upon you, and you'll be able to control and you'll be able to maneuver. When you go to the big jamarat, here the chaos starts, unfortunately, because we do not educate ourselves, plan ourselves. We just rush in and start pelting. And that is when the husband and the wife separate. What you should do, near the jamarats, there are pillars, and those pillars have got colorings on it. They are colored: blue, yellow, white, orange. So you should make a meeting spot that if we get lost, we will come. If we come, that by Jamarat, when we are Jamarat, then you gather yourself, control yourself, and say, go, we should go in twos. Don't try to go like how you'll see the Indonesians and the Malaysians, etc., go by 50s. We are not disciplined to do that. So we go and stand by the pillars, and then we will go inside there, two by two. And remember, the pillars are huge. So you must make sure that you tell your family members that you must come to this side of the pillar. The side of the pillar that is inside, facing the jamarat, or the side of the pillar facing the mountain, or the side of the pillar that is facing where they cut the hay. Alhamdulillah. Once you throw your first pebble, then you stop reading talbiyah. Alhamdulillah, this is your first act. The second act for the day is you make dhamme shukar. The third act you will do, dhamme shukar generally your agent does it and he'll inform you. The third act you'll go and do is halak. This sequence is wajib for the Hanafis: rami al jamarat, dhamme shukar, halak, removing of the hair. Then you come into civilian clothing. For once you are in civilian clothing, you have still got to make tawaf as ziyarat. So you are partially out of ihram, but you are still in ihram by way that you cannot have sexual relationship with your spouse. If you do so, then that word comes in play, you have to sacrifice a budna. So you go to Makkatul Mukarramah, and we advise you to make tawaf ziyarah at 11 o'clock in the night. We found it very easy. Make it downstairs. So alhamdulillah, you make tawaf ziyarah, and after that you come back to Mina. It is sunnat for the Hanafis to spend their night back in Mina. It is wajib for the Shafis to do so. So when you come back to Mina, the next day, please do not spoil your hajj and start quarreling. What you have got to, your responsibility for the next day is that you will pelt shaitan. The next day you will pelt shaitan, and we have taken out a chart when you should do it. However, we advise you, although the times are after Zawal, we advise you to do it after Asr when the crowd subsides. And alhamdulillah, now you will go and pelt shaitan as we have described. The next 2 days, the small, you pelt the small shaitan, then the middle, then the big. You will do the procedure for the next day exactly like that. After the small shaitan, you will face Qibla Makkah al-Mukarramah, make dua for 20 ayat duration. After the middle shaitan, you will face Makkah al-Mukarramah, make dua duration 20 ayat. After the big shaitan, no dua. Come back to your tent. Yeah, please do not spoil your Hajj, and especially this year, that during that time, I presume, and we have been informed, that the cricket is on in South Africa. So do not, as I mentioned in one bayan, do not let the shaitan hit you for a six. So please, you safeguard your Hajj, you spend thousands of rand, value your Hajj. Don't gossip, don't backbite, don't fight with anybody, do not worry what the other tents are doing, you worry about your Hajj. And you make dua, these are valuable moments of your life. Maybe you do not come back to Mina, maybe you do not come back to Muzdalifah, Arafat, and you make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our Hajj. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes easy. Now, on the 12th day, after Rami Jamarat of the big shaitan, you go into Makkatul Mukarramah or Aziziya, or if you want to stay for the 13th. The 13th, you may pelt the shaitan after sunrise, but again, it is better to wait. When you wait. However, I forgot to mention one point, that the last time for the Takbir-e Tashriq is the Asr of the 13th of Zil Hijjah. That you should worry about. So it's for 23, Alhamdulillah, it's for 23 Salats that you read your Takbir-e Tashriq. So the Rami of the Jamarat, starting time is after Zawal, for the 13th of Zil Hajj, and many South Africans are now, Alhamdulillah, taking benefit and staying on the 13th of Zil Hajj. So we should also take benefit. If nothing prevents us, then you stay there. And the facilities in Mina are excellent compared to 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Then you go back to Aziziya or Makkatul Mukarramah, wherever your residence is, and do not forget, you got one more responsibility, that besides shopping, etc., to do before going away from Makkatul Mukarramah, that is Tawaf-e Wida. Tawaf-e Wida is wajib. And the men folk, Alhamdulillah, they make Tawaf-e Wida. And the women folk who are experiencing periods, if they are experiencing periods in the whole of Hajj, no problem. Their Hajj is still valid. In fact, they stand a better chance of acceptance. So, we should not tell the women folk that their Hajj has any defect or flaw or mistake. No. When they appear, they will make Tawaf-e Ziyarat with their mihrams. However, if the lady is in the state of periods and she cannot make Tawaf-e Wida, then she will go near the walls of the Haram and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring her back. The idea is the Tawaf-e Wida is that Tawaf, that your farewell Tawaf, making dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings you back. Then, a few more laws about Tawaf-e Wida is after Tawaf-e Wida, a person can still go back to the Haram and make Salat. A person still can go back to the Haram and make Tawaf. In fact, it is written in the book that if a person makes many Nafil Tawafs, Nawafil Tawafs, and his agent calls him, then the last Nafil Tawaf substitutes as his Tawaf-e Wida. Alhamdulillah, then you come away to Jeddah, be patient, and you come to South Africa, and Alhamdulillah, do not be deceitful, etc., and start lying at the various points or at the airport, etc., and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our Hajj. However, we should realize something, that an accept sign of an accepted Hajj is that a person becomes regular in Salat. Secondly, that the love for the world goes away. Thirdly, the love for Islam, Quran, Ulama, and Deen enters the heart. And a person becomes very soft. And a person, now he is focused on the entire world and he's got fikr for the whole world, that what's happening to the Muslims of the world. So, briefly, we had to go through this rushingly over the 5 days. However, that you should be studying your kitabs nicely. The ulama will be around, we will be around to aid you and to help you. But inshallah, we will have our concluding statements soon.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Saab. A number of questions coming. I must apologize if we were not able to go through it as in detail as we'd like to have, but due to time constraints, we definitely have to conclude this evening's program. The first question comes: my father's sister's daughter wants to go for Hajj with us, so it makes it the niece. And it's would that be permissible?
Niece is permissible.
My father's sister's daughter. Yes. So would they be able to go for Hajj? Yes. That's number one. The other one is we find that many a time when the person makes his tawaf wida, he is seen to be walking backwards because they say to make your final tawaf, and they say the haram has been built in such a way that it, you know, you do not have. Is it correct to walk backwards?
It is not correct to walk backwards. That this Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was leaving the Kaaba and he was leaving Makkah to make hijrat, then he looked at the Kaaba and he addressed the Kaaba and then he proceeded. Because the route that he used was from Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala's house, which was by the Mecca towers.
In fact, the Hilton. That's correct.
In fact, where that Rolex shop is, that is where Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala's house was. I've seen it 18, 19 years ago, the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala.
That spot was there, that's right.
So that route they used. So when he looked at the Kaaba, and then he proceeded. Then he turned again, looked, because he's feeling sad. So it is not necessary to backtrack. And some people even decide to backtrack in our local masajids also. This is not proven in Shariat. However, there are certain doors there that have been designed, certain exits, that you can leave the haram without, leave the haram facing away from the haram, but your back doesn't face the Kaaba.
Incidentally, I see those are the doors where we're talking about. If you're going towards the Hilton complex,
yes,
it would be those particular doors where your back would not be facing. If you,
yes,
I've seen that.
Alhamdulillah.
And the other question you've raised is the tawaf al-wida. You say if women are in the state of menses, she could go to the walls of the haram and form there, but farewell, make dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes her back. You know, whatever dua she,
yes,
wants to make, is that correct?
Yes. And
there's the other thing, I know that you normally have a program at the Hilton. Is that on this year?
We are still finalizing that. Just like how the charters are getting finalized, everything this year seems to be delaying. So as soon as that is finalized and we have got our proper documentation in our hand, then Ismail, you'll be the first one to know, so that you can tell your listeners and their phone, their relatives out there, and inshallah they'll be able to come for our talks there. But you make dua that we are able to have those talks there, because that is where we do the history of the Zamzam, the Kaaba, Makkah, and all the Maqam Ibrahim and the Hajar Aswad while we are there. However, in Medina, just try to look out for us. We are going to have talks there in Medina. And Brother Ismail has encouraged me to do some research on the masjids of in Medina Al Munawwara. He has given me some literature too, and I am interested in doing that research also. So this time in Medina Al Munawwara, we will be discussing the virtues and histories of the masjid of around Masjid Al Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the masjid of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
I just want to say Jazakumullah. I know you're going to conclude, but before that I want to say that from our side we wish you well. We may dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant to Hajj Mabrur, Hajj Mabrur, and you take you and your family safely, bring you back inshallah. We benefited tremendously from your programs, and I'm sure so have our listeners. And remember that you are not gone yet, so we'll still be getting in touch with you. If there's any last minute queries, any more calls that come through, I would definitely put them through, and you will help us along with that
inshallah. And in conclusion, I would like to mention three things. That first of all, avoid three people. One is the Hajj ministry. You may be surprised I'm telling you that avoid the Hajj ministry. When they had lectures for us, when they came down, I was shocked myself. They told us that we are training you and you can train the Hujjaj so that they do not rely on us. Why? Because remember that although they have got the infrastructure and the personnel, but they are dealing with 2.5 million people. So it is difficult. Also, because you do not know the language. Thirdly, that once you start going from one office to another, then all your sweat comes out. Secondly, I am sad to say this, that don't get entangled with South African Hajj and Umrah Council, SAUK, because they have got limited resources, limited manpower, and they do not have highly technical and highly trained professional people out there to help you. Thirdly, that try to make your Hajj without your Hajj operator or your Hajj agent. Because at the time you need him most, he'll disappear like Houdini. He's gone, you don't see him. So you try to make your Hajj without these three people. And inshallah, when you focused that you're going to do your Hajj yourself, you'll see you will be able to make a very nice, good, safe, comfortable, hassle-free, without harassment Hajj, inshallah.
InshaAllah, that comes to the end of the another program, an informative program. Yes, definitely your learning station, Radio Star Media, 1548, Mufti Afzal Ilyas with us in the studio, and we've come to the conclusion of our series. It was a three-part series. At the beginning, when I spoke to him, I said, Mufti Sahib, let's try and see if we can do it in one program. We tried, and the second program, and unfortunately, I must say, even in the third program, we were not able to do justice to what we wanted to and what we had set out. But inshallah, next year we'll start off much earlier, and inshallah, take you through step by step, because it is important that you understand. And when you people who have gone through come back with their experiences, we are able to share that so that you do not fall into the same pitfalls and you are making an ibadah. Remember, Hajj is only fard once in the lifetime. You may have the opportunity of going over and over, but remember that is not your fard Hajj, it becomes a nafil ibadah. And once you've completed your fard, remember that that opportunity does not come back again. So we do urge you, when you are going out there, to make lots of dua for all of us. Remember, you are aware of the conditions of the Muslim Ummah, not only in South Africa, but throughout the world. We know of the looming war in Iraq. We know of what our conditions are in South Africa. And most important, you know what your own conditions are within your own families, within your own selves.